All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Mic'd Up Outdoor Podcast. I am your host, Josh Tanner. Today is episode 26, Monday, December 11th. And today we got a good one, guys. I'm super happy. I am surrounded by friends, old friends, new friends. And we got a great episode for you guys today. This is kind of a BS session between myself, Thad. Hi.
Howdy.
Our returning friend, Taylor Artis, who I know you guys have heard at least, this will be time number three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Taylor, and then his friend, who we just met, Dylan, who is friends with Taylor. So they came over tonight. Taylor reached out to me when Thad and I were in Iowa and sent me a picture. And obviously, it was a picture of a buck because you were in Kansas at the time. And obviously, the picture was a picture of a really damn nice buck. And you said there's a great freaking story behind it. So I was like, let's get together. Let's do this. And you're like, hold on. I want to hear the, you know, I wanted to hear the story like right then and there. And you're like, no, let's hold off until we can get back into Michigan and stuff. So I finally was able to get Taylor over here to tell us this awesome story. Thanks, dude, for coming on, man. No, I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I love having you. I love your stories. I love your enthusiasm. Honestly, it's kind of tough sometimes to get people on here that have like the same passion, I guess, or just are like, just live for this shit like I do.
And oh, yeah.
I don't know, Thad, you live for it.
I just
stay. You get ate up. You get ate up with it.
I stay behind the camera.
You stay behind the camera. Okay. Thad's not
a. It's a safer place to be.
Yeah. Face too ugly to be in front of it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You have a face built for radio.
Yep.
Nonetheless, we are videoing this podcast today, so you're going to be stuck with Thad's Frankenstein face.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So. But yeah, we got Taylor and Dylan on here today, and like, I'm super stoked to have you guys here. So appreciate you coming on. So anyway, I mean, Taylor, a little bit of backstory on yourself. If the people don't already know you, you've got a dog tracking service for, you know, for recovering deer. I think we've covered that a couple different times now. Oh, yeah. But this year, you took those services on the road.
We did.
Yeah.
Yep. So, quick backstory. Yep. My name is Taylor Artis. From Northern Michigan. Live in McBain. It'll be just east of Cadillac. Dylan knows I'm bad with directions. I gotta do the old never eat soggy wheat real quick.
One of these.
Make
ways.
Sure that
just hold your hand up.
Yeah. I live. You know, we do the old Michigan. I'm up over by your ring finger knuckle.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It's yep. So I'm a stay-at-home dad and insurance agent by trade, and then 100% during deer season, we love to go out and try to find deer. Quick stats about that. I just did the math for it before getting here. We are at 29 tracks this season.
Nice.
We went 16 for 29. Pretty happy about it. There's two that were proven still alive, or the ones we didn't find.
Okay.
And then there were two, actually. Usually there's every year there's about one that is dead that we left out in the woods, and it's usually, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But there was two this year that we left out in the woods, and who knows if they died that night, if they died days afterwards. My initial gut reaction is always days afterwards.
Yeah.
But we did find out two of those. So
when
it comes to that side, yeah, we've had a pretty good year.
Nice.
We're not perfect, but we're not supposed to be.
I don't think there's anything in life that's perfect.
Nope.
So. Nah. Especially when it comes to deer hunting. I mean,
right.
Not even close.
Game of inches.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, you went out of state, like most of us that are just really into deer hunting. It seems like Michiganders nowadays, more Michigan hunters, of course, because I'm biased because we're from Michigan. Like, we just get ate up. We want to go out of state when it comes to shooting deer.
Oh, bucks driving nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot.
Yeah.
You see something that's huge in Michigan, you know, you put all your effort, all your cameras all into one deer. And then when you go out of state, you're like, there's seven of those roaming around here, you know?
Yeah. I can totally agree with you on that one. Like, any year that I've ever been out of state, and I've been doing this probably since, well, it's going on 23, 24 seasons now. I have never once went out of state and saw less bucks than does. I have always seen more bucks than does at a very, very high rate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 5-1, 6-1. So, I mean, that in itself, being a Michigan guy is like, you just get like ate up with it. Like, I mean, I just love it because you're just like, oh, I don't care if it's a 6-point. I don't care if it's a spike. I don't care if it's a 12-point. Like, I'm just seeing bucks upon bucks upon bucks. And all those things that you do that they talk about, you know, rattling, grunting, decoying, spot and stalk, all that stuff. Man, that stuff just like, I feel like it works out there.
It does. It's different.
Yeah,
it's real
different.
And it works.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah. So absurd. All those things that you see and hear about and read about, like, oh my God, I can put these things to use out here and like and have success.
Right.
Whereas in Michigan, and I always hate downplaying what we have in Michigan because I think we have an unbelievable resource here, but it's just different here. More hunters. More tracts of land, smaller pieces of land. Everybody loves to hunt. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of in broken up maybe sections of the state where, you know, southern Michigan obviously has some true giants and northern Michigan does too. And we're just broken up, but you get these pockets.
It's more pressure here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get these pockets where it's like, damn, this is really good deer hunting. And you could say it rivals any, you know, Midwestern state like Iowa, Illinois, Ohio. But then there's like these pockets, like kind of where we live right now, where it's like, you know, oh man, did everybody in the county knows about the 125-inch 10-point that's running right around. And it's like, oh, I know that I could probably pass on that deer if I went out of state. So, but nonetheless, like I still love it here. Like,
yeah,
I'm never going to not hunt.
I mean, this year, between all like the Facebook posts you see from, like Michigan Buck Pole and a couple mm-hmm. other those different sites, I've seen so many big deer taken.
There's some
Michigan
damn big
year.
Ones this year.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, just the overall number of deer you watch, and you're like, that's from here.
Do you think though that is just total social media driven? Like more and more people are just posting their deer, showing their deer.
It definitely has an influence on it, 100%. You know, and there's also probably a lot of big deer there shot that aren't on there. I got a couple of buddies that they're like, yeah, I shot a big deer and who cares? You know, it's like, it's my own glory. That's my own thing. And 100%. They don't care to put it out.
Well,
there.
And there's those hunters that shoot those big deer that purposely will not post those deer.
Yeah.
Especially if they're doing it on a consistent basis, exactly. Because the more attention you bring to yourself, guess what? You're going to have people in your back pocket eventually. And they're just going to like Facebook stalk you and it's not too hard to figure it out.
Oh, you know? It's pretty easy. These
days. Once you find out where a person is and then you can kind of branch out from there on maybe where they're hunting, who they're related to. There's a lot of like little tricks and things that guys that are really, really savvy on social media can figure out.
Which is also sad in the same way.
It is 100%.
Because like, regardless of where those deer are at, I mean, shoot. Okay. So where I'm at is Northern Michigan, where Dylan and I live at. I've known of 4 deer this year, 4 of them that I know are 170 plus caliber deer.
In your area?
Within 10 miles of my house.
Damn.
Yes. And I've known of those deer. 2 of them have died and there's 2 of them still walking around.
Wow.
You know, and it's
incredible.
It's insane. And then years prior, I can't name one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I literally can't name one. And I've seen 2 of them dead. And I know of 2 more that people have on camera that are different.
Yeah, I think more and more people are getting on board with, you know, QDMA and just, you know, passing up smaller bucks and stuff. I mean, I'm 100% convinced it's a generational thing. My dad, who's in his, you know, late 70s now, listen, they came up in a different period where it's just like, oh, you just shoot a buck if it has horns. It doesn't matter if it's big, little, or in between. You just like, it's a buck. You fill in your buck tag. So, but now, you know, you get guys more my age in their 50s, 50, not 50s, 50, just turned, thank you. And then, and you guys that are in your 20s, late 20s, early 20s, like, you guys have been more, I guess, like, it's more out in front where, like, hey, listen, if you pass on these smaller bucks, you're going to get an opportunity at a bigger one.
It's exactly what you're talking about, though. It's social media. It's YouTube. It's all these things that we have the opportunity to see big deer, regardless if they live at our house or not, or on our property. You see big deer, and you're like, I could hold out, not shoot that 6-point, year and a half old.
I think you hope for that.
Yeah.
But you never know, like, you let that deer go, right? And then the neighbor's going to shoot it. So
I know, like, and that's that is 100% the tough part of, you know, I guess where we live. It's I'm convinced now more than ever that it is more so about who your neighbors are and what their thought process is when it comes to deer hunting. Because if you can get your neighbors on board, whether they're 10-acre parcel neighbors or 110-acre parcel neighbors, if you can get them on board with your whole kind of mindset, you just doubled, tripled, quadrupled your property.
Oh, 100%.
And the chances of those bucks right, of making sure. It to another for level sure. are like, you know, 10 times more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which is great. But.
I got to add to that. Shout out to my neighbors to my east. Yeah. They are phenomenal. I say my name's not on my parcel yet. So if you're listening to this a year or two from now, you might find out who they are or wherever I live.
Yeah. But
my neighbors to the east, great relationship with them. Awesome people. They own a great chunk of land.
They're on board.
They shot a great buck. They shot two great bucks this year off of that property. But for the same reason that we're trying to do the same thing. You know, we own myself and my in-laws own a nice chunk of property. And then there's a little two-track in between them. And then the east property, they own a nice, big, beautiful area. In between the two, we have a bunch of deer. And we're trying to do our best to pass up on the ones that I think there's one this year. That's probably, I'm not trying to put a number on it, probably 115-inch 10.
Nice.
Maybe 110-inch 10. Beautiful looking deer. You know, it's going to be an awesome opportunity. He's probably 2.5.
Yeah.
And everyone's on board. So, yep. Do not touch that deer. That's cool. Do not touch that deer. Because we know, like, hey, this could be the one that's next year's buck.
Right.
And we, you know, we share photos back and forth and we do that. So, exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Your neighbor is your best ally.
Oh, yeah. It's your best asset.
Yes.
It's 100% your best asset. With that being said, I have zero issue with whatever you want to kill.
Oh, please. Yes.
I always. Said it in the last podcast. I don't care if you shoot a freaking spike. I don't care because it's your hunt. It's your deer. You can shoot whatever you want. What's for me may not be for you. And I'll always say it. I'm never going to discredit anybody for doing what they want to do and how they want to handle themselves.
Yep.
It's their hunt. If it gets you excited, knock yourself out.
Why would I shoot a little buck behind the house here when I know, you know, the neighbors around us, they'd be ecstatic to shoot something like that.
That's true,
I'm
too.
I'm just shooting it because I'm like, oh, the neighbor's going to shoot it, so I'm going to shoot it. Why would I?
And then you're
that?
Not going to be as happy about it because you personally want to set your own standard of a slightly bigger caliber deer.
Let them shoot it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if they have that opportunity to shoot that deer and you are like,
game on.
You're going to be twice as happy about it. You're going to be the first person to walk over there and say, good job.
Yeah, no.
Bring a beer for them. Bring them a hand to drag it out.
I want to hear the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, let's just jump into it, dude. Tell us, tell us about this whole adventure you had this year.
So it really starts with my wishy-washiness of even bringing Mace. So my tracking dog.
Okay.
The main purpose of us going out of state was to have the opportunity to go hunt big deer.
Yep. And this was Kansas.
This was Kansas. Okay. Yes. So the opportunity was to go down with my buddy Ty, Dylan's brother-in-law.
Okay.
And we were planning on going down and just hunting big deer. So in the summer, I ended up making a phone call down to the general area. We drew our unit, and in that unit, I'm doing my online mapping. I'm searching for everything, just trying to find some details, scouting all the walking that I can, dropping an absurd amount of pins.
Okay.
And then I end up finding a property that's laid out to where it's a big chunk. At the time, it didn't matter how big it was.
Right.
But I saw that they're legit farming. They're for sure farmers. They've got a couple of different things of like old combines. It's like a huge like junkyard of stuff.
Okay.
And in that thought process, I'm thinking, they got a lot of farm equipment. They probably don't have time to go hunt, nor do they probably care.
Right.
So I made one phone call to this guy, and he was like, yeah, sure, go ahead. I was like, I didn't even finish my spiel yet. Like, I'm trying to tell you, hey, you know, we're from Michigan.
Right.
We're trying to come down here and shoot a couple of deer. There's two of us. I started with camping permission. Like, just started with start, just to get my foot in the door. You know?
So let me ask you this before you go any further. Mm-hmm. What made you pick the area that you were in? What made you pick that unit?
So then Ty's been there before.
Okay.
But it was a long time ago.
Okay.
And then there is a handful of walk-in opportunities around that area.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was basically a checkerboard of walk-in. So regardless of amount of people that end up showing up, regardless of whatever, if I'm a firm believer in a higher amount of land, the more opportunity. Because I have no problem putting the miles on, getting in there, sure, walking, finding a good spot, finding a couple of spots, whatever it may be.
Right.
That's fine. And Ty's the same way. Kid, you know, the dude works hard.
Okay.
And so that was probably 90% of why we chose that spot. And then also it was just throwing a dart out. Like,
okay,
we're just gonna go hunt.
Did you pick it based off of the amount of private land that you thought you could get permission on? Or like you saw a bunch of walk-in property, or was there some state ground? Like, you had to have kind of a bucket of things that you had to fill to go to a specific spot. At least that's kind of how I visual. Yeah. Like, I need to know, okay, there's X amount of public ground. There is X amount of walk-in property. And then we can knock on doors.
Yeah. So it was probably 20%, I would say, of Ty going there before.
Okay.
Which I think he was like 10, 15 years sure. ago, if I remember correctly.
But it's your starting point.
It's our starting point. Okay. Yeah. So then we end up staying in the same town that he stayed in.
Okay.
Just in a local motel there.
Yep.
Which is also a key factor of the entire story, which is really messed up. So we ended up picking this place because of about 20% because he's been in that general area.
Yep. And you kind of had a starting point.
Yeah. And then 80% is there is an overabundance of walk-in. There's a bunch of opportunity.
Perfect.
No matter what, we're going to be within 20, 30 miles of four or five different chunks.
Yeah. You're just leveraging the percentages at this point.
Yep.
Yep.
So we picked the unit. After we picked the unit is when I made that phone call, called and asked for permission to stay. Didn't know where we were going to stay yet. Had no idea. And I asked about, you know, is there anywhere local to camp? Is there any, because you go on to like Airbnb and VRBO, there's nothing.
In Kansas?
In that area I was in. Oh my gosh.
I've done that. I played that game before. It's just like there's closest thing is 65 miles away from where you want
to
hunt.
Exactly. And I'm not trying to drive over an hour one way just to get to an opportunity to, you know, fling an arrow. But you do what you got to do, but you try to maximize your opportunities.
I've done it. I just had a conversation with Aaron Blysey today about units that I've hunted in, and he's like, man, I'd love to check out that unit. And I'm like, maybe not, because like it was so desolate. You're just like, I was literally driving an hour just to get to a piece of hunting property because there was nothing, no place even close to stay.
Yeah.
So it's just like it's desolate.
Yeah.
Plus you were dealing with maybe taking mace and maybe not taking mace.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You got the dog with you, so you got to completely factor that into play.
How many times did I go back and forth? I told this dude.
I would
every other day.
Every other day, and be like, I'm not taking mace anymore. I'm like, why? And he's like, I don't know. And then the next day, I'd see him, he'd be like, I'm taking mace. I'm like, oh, good. And then next time I see him, it'd be the opposite. I'm like, dude, would you just make up your mind? Like, can you take her? She's like, yeah, I can take her. I'm like, then do it. Like, why not do it?
So at first I couldn't take her because we decided that we were going to book a motel room, at this place, had a good rate, $65-$70 a night. We're splitting it down the pipe. It was not a big deal at that time. They had a no pet policy.
Okay.
Not at all. Like, we booked it. And then over the span of 2 months, I'm going back and forth thinking, God, I want to bring her so bad.
Right.
So I started looking at, you know, different places to stay. I knew I could, you know, switch out of that reservation, no problem.
Sure.
And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to call them. I'm going to do it. You know, if they tell me I can bring her, I'm going to bring her. So I made the phone call and I made my notes on my phone thinking, all right.
Yeah.
This is why I'm
doing it. Convince a hotel room that says no pets to
absolutely,
pets.
Absolutely. All underlined. Never pets. No pets allowed. They always say bird dogs must stay in trucks because it's a very popular bird dog area.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. So I called them up. the sweetest old lady you've ever met. So kind, right? I start laying on thick. I'm telling her, hey, this is what's going on. My dog will track deer. I'm here to hunt deer. We're here for a week. I'll bring my own vacuum. I will, you'll never know she's there, and I will pay you on top of it.
Right.
I told her, I will pay you extra on top of our normal stay to allow my dog to stay.
Right.
She's like, all right. I'm like, seriously?
I'm assuming this was maybe like a mom and pop type hotel. Yes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. There's probably 20 rooms in this motel. Yeah. You know, it's a sweet little spot. And
that's perfect.
I know that.
It was awesome.
There's a funny story. Thad, you remember when we stayed in Kansas last time?
Yeah, and they the hotel from like
we stayed in three different rooms in this hotel, and we walked in when we walk in to like get the the new keys for the other room because we were there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we were there 14.
I'm not kidding you. We walk in this place, dude. 10 different cats in the don't you remember that?
Cats in the lobby?
Yeah, in like because they lived in basically the lobby or just off the lobby area. And there was like freaking cats everywhere. Well,
and the owners had their own room.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like sure they lived. They lived on site. Yeah, like it was an on site.
You'd come back midday from hunting, and they just have these huge dogs out in the courtyard just chilling out there.
Yeah.
There's some pretty greasy people.
Like, oh, yeah. It was a total sketch. It was a total sketch freaking place. But
they bounced us from like room to room just because they had a reservation for this particular room. So they moved us to this other room. And it's like, okay, why didn't you just like say, because they put us in a bigger room. They put us in a three-person room for just the two of us. So two people could go in our two-person room. It's like, okay, why didn't you just like, you know, put them in that room that's empty?
It was sketchy. Whatever. Like we got locked out of our room one night and the owner didn't have a key either. So he broke through the window. He went through the screen door.
Yeah. He was an interesting
character. Yeah, he was a very interesting character. But anyway, back to your story.
Oh, I was going to add, too, speaking of animals, as soon as we get there to check in, they got their two little dogs roaming out of the place. I'm like, oh, yeah.
There it is.
Oh, dog lovers has no dogs. Sure. Yeah.
They just don't want to clean up the shit.
Somebody, I don't blame them a bit. Somebody took advantage of the situation and their dog crapped or pissed all over something and they just, they bounced.
So if these ladies hear that, by the way, sorry, my dog shit on the floor, too. Did do that. She got, she got all worked up and she didn't shit for 3 days.
All right. She was just excited.
All right, I take back everything I said about it.
Yeah, I know.
No dogs allowed.
You know what we do is we go to the damn dollar store and we go buy all of the supplies to clean up dog shit and air out the whole place. Oh, it was horrible.
How come it's 20 degrees out and you got the doors open and the windows open?
I had to go after day one because I got... So after day one of hunting, we end up going back in the motel room. And of course, she would stay in the motel room. You know, she sleeps all day long.
Right.
You know, it's not a big deal. She's a very relaxed dog. And we get back, and all of a sudden she's...
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is the heat so hot in here? It felt like it was 75, 80 degrees. So I go down and talk to there's two little old ladies who own the place.
Yeah.
They're all dolled up. They're the most adorable little things you've seen.
Sure, it was a night on the town.
Bingo night
down at the VFW.
Probably a Tuesday,
halls.
You know?
Yeah.
Taco Tuesday down at the VFW.
Yeah.
And I asked them, like, hey, is there... Anyway, we turn our heat down. There's no thermometer control in our room. Like, it's really hot. And I didn't give a crap. You know, for the most part, I open the window, but my dog's hot during the day is what I wanted to say.
Right, right. So, what time in November was this?
So we left, would have been a couple days after you guys went to Iowa. So
we left on the 26th or 27th.
Yeah, we got there on the 3rd.
Yeah.
The 3rd of November?
3rd of November.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So finally... After going back and forth for the last 2 months, made the phone call, got the information that I could let her stay. Then that was my golden ticket. Said, sure. Yep, I'm bringing her. The worst thing I got to do is let her out in the morning before we go hunt. And as soon as we get back, I got to let her out again and she sleeps.
How long were you guys planning on staying?
The intent was just under 10 days. So it would have been 9-ish days. We left Thursday night, got there Friday morning. We were
so somewhere between the 11th and 12th or 11th and 13th, somewhere around there. Yeah.
If it was possible, we were going to get home to, you know, see the family and stuff before Ty had to go back to work on Sunday night.
Okay.
Yep. So we make the plans. We end up leaving Thursday night. We bring the dog, throw her in the back, load up the truck, head that way. Everything's smooth sailing. We get there and So we drive through the night, and then we immediately are like, all right, we can't waste any time because we've got, so we got all this access. So after that phone call, he's like, of the farmer, he said, yep, 100%, not a problem.
This was a permission piece that you guys had prior.
We got after we selected the unit.
Okay.
That was when I decided I'm going to make a phone call.
You just cold called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sweet.
I only made one and it worked.
Nice.
Ended up finding he owns four different parcels.
It's crazy that, and it like was you
unreal.
Can.
Unreal. It was unreal.
Like you can make a phone call and be like, oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. And then they're going to be, you know, Joe Blow down the street. It's paying $2,500 to hunt the same exact property that you're hunting. Yeah. It's a fluke of a situation. You got to get lucky or you got to pay for it. And there's nowhere in between.
Right.
And so far I got lucky and expected to pay a little bit of cash and they never expected a dime.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those like good for them for being, they're just kind people. They see that we want to hunt so bad.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, if that's what you want to do on our property, be respectful and go ahead.
It's pretty rare anymore.
I'm just curious and you don't have to share it, but like, what's your sales pitch?
I don't have one. Like I said, I started
bullshit. With, you gotta have one because you don't just get get permission. Okay, there it is.
I started with camping and then I started asking about probably, you know, you got any deer that are being, you know, any good deer roaming around and like, oh yeah, you know, they start talking and just ask questions.
Yeah.
That's my number one thing is
small talk.
Whole spiel on his
the small talk.
Oh yeah. Like there's certain questions I need to get to, but just ask questions, a little bit of small talk, and then you'll know right away if they're going to say yes or no. You know,
oh, yeah, for
sure. You'll know in the first about 30 seconds if they're going to even contemplate the conversation.
Yeah.
And then you can even get to the point where it's like, you know, thanks you so much for your time. I got to get going.
Right.
And you already know. Don't even ask because it's not going to work. But
yeah.
I've gotten fairly lucky so far.
Good.
When it comes to permission pieces. So whatever some wood's at. I'm going to hopefully keep that streak going right now, but
keep it bottled up, man.
Yeah.
Like if you could sell that, you'd be a gazillionaire right now. Cause I guarantee the one thing that like, and I absolutely hate knocking on doors and talking to people and asking for permission. I don't like, I can talk really. I mean, I can talk to anybody, but I hate having that like feeling in my stomach. Like, I'm going in with a purpose to get something that they may or may not give me. And I just don't want that rejection part of it. So I just get all sweaty and I just hate doing it, man.
Well, it's like you want control of the conversation because you want to accurately present what you, what you want. Cause you have a want and they're like, you have no idea how that conversation is going to go. Yeah. It's the wonder. It's the, what am I getting myself into to start the conversation, let alone actually asking for permission to hunt or asking whatever that may be.
I got buddies that are just like masters at it, like just so good at it. And I'm just like, I'm over in the corner, like cowering, just like, oh, I'm scared. I don't want to ask any questions because I don't want to come off like some sort of creeper, you know, trying to make small talk and asking about their family and this and that just to try and make small talk. And then they're like,
what kind of cat is that?
Yeah. Oh, you like cats? Oh, I like cats too, you know? Just like creepy.
Yeah, it's good for cats getting rid of coyotes.
Yeah, exactly. So I just like to just like get right to the point, but like people don't, they might not like that either when you just come in and say, hey, here's my name and this is what I'm here for. Give me permission. You know, if not, I guess I'm moving on. So
it's such a weird conversation to navigate.
Yeah.
It's so
weird. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, you got permission.
We got permission. So then day one, we said, all right, number one priority is in Kansas. You can, on private land, you can put cameras. We've got access to private.
Yep.
We have 12 or 13 cameras.
Oh, wow.
We need to get those out immediately.
Yeah, rock it out.
We need to walk. We need to find all the scrapes at this time of year.
Yep.
We need to find scrapes, rub lines, you name it. We need to find it.
Yeah.
So we started walking the properties. We end up walking two out of the four the first day.
Okay.
And we put out probably seven or eight cameras, try to keep a couple for the other two properties, not knowing. We try to pick the top two right away that what we think, you know, you never know. But we try to pick the top two that we think we're going to be the deer producing properties.
You pick those kind of through e-scouting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So we pick those two out, walk those two, and then we end up going back to the first property we walked and hunted that one that night.
All right.
I picked one spot, Ty picked the other, and we kind of just spaced out, rode the hole. Nothing too productive that night. I don't think we even...
Yeah, it's just we're going to put a stand up and basically scout, just get an observation sit in.
Yep,
yeah.
We both kind of got into a high point. He got to a spot in the field where he could kind of see the entire field. Sure. I got to a spot where I could get up a little bit higher in my saddle, and I could see a couple of draws coming in to a little bit of a... There's a little bit of a berm. I was on the opposite side of this property. So I could see the berm. I could see everything funneling into it.
Okay.
And then he could see the opening on the south side. So we covered probably 70% of that property that night with just two of us, even though the section's probably 120, 140 acres.
All right.
I'd think. So
yeah.
It was a good first night just to get in. And I mean, shit, it's fun just to get into a bow with your hand in the middle of Kansas, dude, you know, the pre-rut.
Yeah,
just,
first part of November. Heck yeah, man. Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that.
Right. You know, it's one of those nostalgic feelings. You're just this is what we came here to do.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of seeing a big deer or not, we're doing
it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm here. I have nothing else going on. I can eat, sleep, breathe.
Yep.
November rut in Kansas. So, yeah.
It still feels
good. No, I know. It's a great feeling for sure. No matter where you're hunting, that's the feeling you want to have. So, yeah. So, continue.
Yeah. So, we get into day two. So, our plan is to drive around in the mornings to kind of start until we find a legit spot. We're like, hey, we have to sit here. We weren't going to hunt mornings. So, we scouted the other two properties. And then we knew all these different chunks of walk-in.
Okay.
And Ty is the one who picked it. You know, thank God for Ty, because we're not here sitting about this conversation if Ty's not there. 110%.
All right.
You know, he shot this deer as much as I did. The only thing I did was pull back a bow. And
so this deer was taken on walk-in.
On walk-in, yes. It was not even on our private piece.
Yep.
So we end up going to this one property with about 2 hours left of light. We drove around it. We're like, well, there's some really good property around it.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, you know, all these river bottom access spots. We're like, shoot, who knows? There's no other trucks here. And it was Saturday night.
That's crazy.
You'd expect trucks to be at every walk-in. And after that, there was. But this night, there wasn't.
Yeah.
So it was just us two. It's probably a 40-acre parcel surrounded by a 600-acre parcel of private.
Yep.
And... he picks once probably the northern side, I would say, of this river bottom, and we're up on top of this hill. So we parked on the, would be on the east side, and then we walked in together, and we got to this super steep river bottom. It would have been one of those really fun downhill shots if you had something in the bottom.
Yeah.
And we're both kind of sitting up there, and I was like, all right, you know, it's up to you. What side do you want? He's like, I'll stay over here if you want to go to that side. I said, perfect. So I start heading over to the other side, and we're probably 80 to 100 yards apart to start.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there for the first hour. We're just, you know, randomly grunting and rattling. And you watch the videos. You know, you're like, all right,
What do we call those guys that are always grunting and rattling?
Oh,
Flute Man Greg.
Flute Man Greg.
And Roger Radlin.
Yep. Yeah.
I was Flute Man Greg.
You were Flute Man Greg. I'll tell
you
what.
You call me Greggy from now on.
You sit in the woods and all you can hear is boop, boop, boop.
Dude.
You go Flute Man.
I was loud.
Playing in the orchestra.
If you're sitting outside of Michigan, you might have heard a little bit of a... Is that what I think? Boy, is that Taylor in Kansas?
Yeah, I
was getting after it.
He created like this deer porno. There was so much grunting and woofing and boofing going on.
It's getting freaky over there.
All they're missing is the leaves moving, I swear. Yeah. Oh, I bet Ty was like, what the hell is this guy doing? So, of course, like, you know, every time I would rattle, he would start grunting with me.
Sure.
You know, we're putting on a symphony over there, like you're saying.
Playing off each other.
Yeah, it was working great.
Yeah.
But, of course, because at that time, there was not much wind, and that river bottom's completely open. God, you can hear a twig snap from 300 yards.
Yeah.
Like, it's just dead silent, super dry.
What was the temps?
Hot.
It was hot.
I was just going to say, it had to be
high 50s, pretty. Low 60s. I'd say by the time final light was probably at night.
Yeah.
It was pretty hot. It wasn't 70 when we got in there, but I think it was in the 60s and then dropped into the mid-low 50s okay. by the time we were
That's
done.
Such yeah. a Kansas norm that time of year. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Every year we've gone.
Yeah.
It's been like 50, 60, sweating our balls off in the middle of the day. And it's like super cold when there's no sun up.
Yeah.
And then also it's just summertime all over
Us two were there really the same annoying. Time you two were.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple yeah, years ago.
Yeah. Just, and it was the it same was exact
same
weather.
Way, man. T-shirt weather. In, and
bundled up, and then you yep. get there, and you sit there in your T-shirt, and then by yep. the time you leave, you're in your jacket.
So you're back in your sweater. Back in your super warm stuff yep. again. Yeah, yep. it's weird. So, yeah.
So, yeah. So, we're just sitting there, you know, creating the motion in the ocean there, and I got kind of bored. You know, I'm like, all right.
I texted you too that same day. Yeah. I was like, how's hunting going? He's like, dude, it's so slow. It's like, I'm bored. Like, it's not going good. And I'm like, all right, well, that sucks.
You texted me that
probably an hour before you shot.
Yeah.
I would, had to. Because I was in the tree in Michigan.
Right.
And I was bored in my tree. So I'm like, I'll see what they're up to. I'm like, how's it going? He's like, dude, it's terrible. It's warm. It's boring. No deer are like, they're not moving in the rut. Like,
yeah,
it's like pre rut. Like, they're not really chasing does at all. Yeah.
You and, dudes have no yeah. idea how tough it was when you didn't have phones and oh, you yeah. sat there for oh, all day gosh. Sits.
It's been extremely slow.
I would lose my damn mind.
Yeah.
Because you can only, you really start talking to yourself.
So there's only three of you there. You, yourself, and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Like,
I couldn't do it.
I'm telling you, it is like so hard to pull an all day sit when there's nothing to like focus you.
So much respect for yeah, guys that were doing that.
So
I mean,
tough.
Well, we I there's no, day, not a chance.
We did yeah. an all day sit a couple years ago in Kansas, and I was we had each other, and I still was. Like,
he passed out like three times.
Yeah,
I got to oh, yeah. do something.
Yeah,
deep thoughts.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, deep I say you change career paths by the time
yeah.
you get home.
Oh yeah,
you
know? A lot of lot of questions.
Oh
yeah, so yeah, so I mean you're having a slow start.
Yeah, and I mean it was probably because the cameras had zero deer on them overnight.
Yeah,
and that was probably my number one thing. I was like, oh, it's everything's fresh and new, but we walked everything that we had permission on. We put all of our cameras.
Yeah,
out.
You blew it up.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, we stomped everywhere with a yeah. bow in our hand with
right.
trying to find sign, and we found all the sign, but then still like there's not much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key difference is there's less deer. So there's more than likely less sign, mm-hmm. but then also they have more competition there. So yep. I would expect the same amount of sign.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably just a weird double standard that I have of going out of state thinking if the buck to doe ratio is better, but they're trying to be more dominant.
Right.
Which proved to be true. I would expect to see just as many scrapes and rubs as what you find in Michigan, but these bucks are a little more rutted up, thinking more territorial, covering yeah. more ground, knowing that they have...
Those deer are 100% nomadic. They yeah. will travel miles.
Yeah.
Miles. I've seen deer out there travel, I mean, literally, what feels like 5 miles. And you like because you can see a long way in certain areas.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll cover miles. So I mean, this scrape over here, he could be 3 miles away, but he'll make it over there at some point.
Right.
He's just doing a big circle.
Yeah, because what happened that a couple of years ago when we were there with that big 8-point? You remember that yeah. we rattled in? He yeah. got straight downwind of us. He knew exactly where that rattling was coming from.
Yeah.
Directly downwind, 30 yards away, just poked his head out of the pines. Just enough where you couldn't sling an arrow at him.
Of course.
And Sharpie was...
Oh, he was half mile. He was a half mile at least away.
And he texted us, I think, literally a minute later. He's like, oh, I just saw a big 8-point.
Yeah.
Like, literally ran directly to him. And he ran, like, almost within shooting range of him.
Yeah.
And that was within a minute or two.
Yeah. Really? I mean, they just cover so much ground.
That's
so
awesome.
Fast when they need to. And even when they don't need to, they cover a ton of ground.
Yeah.
So it's all based off of food and where they bed. Where they bed might be 2 miles from where they're feeding.
It's almost getting lucky out there, too.
Well, just move,
a,
man.
Yeah, just get in a spot that you know, like, in your
feels bucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sooner or later, that's the crappy thing about Kansas, but sitting all day, is like, sooner or later, he will be there. It's just a matter of time. I mean,
Shout out to the dang deer cast the one day. So after I shot mine, we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
After that, when I'm sitting in the tree with Ty, you know, trying to fill his tag, deer cast at 2 p.m. prime movement time.
Really?
For that day. It would have been November 6th or 7th, maybe.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, sure. Right. Sure shit. We saw a beautiful, big, same thing, big ol' 8-point over by a pond 75 yards away from us, working his way up the draw. He caught a glimpse of him. And I was like, shut up. And I look, and he was thrashing a tree. And then he moved, and I caught a glimpse of him as he walked up. And we had a camera in that draw, you know, thanks to technology. Yeah. Found out he was moving up that draw at 217.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No affiliation to DeerCast by the Drurys, but if you want to, you know.
I mean, we're all here for it. Yeah. We're all here for it.
Yeah.
It's like, how much do you really truly believe that until you get out there? Like you said, it's like, okay.
We thought.
But it's like, how does he know?
We were going to go sit at 2, 3 o'clock. So we're going to work our way in. Yeah. It gets dark at, what, 6 or something?
Yeah.
Sit there for 2.5, 3 hours, you know. The rut wasn't in full swing yet. It was pre-rut stuff. They were checking scrapes. We're going to be at the prime times. You check the thing, and it says, oh, between 2 and 3:30 is prime today. I guess we're getting our button stand at 1. Saw the big old buck at 2:17.
That's crazy.
That's
absolutely
nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll never doubt that again, will you?
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah.
They got something going on over there.
I mean, you know, there's lots of technology out there that I mean, I follow along. I'm like, I'm like a kind of a Red Moon kind of guy. I at least am looking at it,
yeah.
Like to see where it's at. I'm not like die hard. Like I don't live or die by it, but I'm 100% looking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at least taking a peek to see, okay, what's the Red Moon? When is it? What are the hours? What, you know what I mean?
So I mean, it's definitely in the factors.
Yeah, there's a reason why that's a thing. I mean, obviously it works. It's proven.
Yeah.
If it's a thing, it wouldn't be a thing if it didn't work. So.
The fact that it's a thing.
Right. So, all right. Continue.
All right. So, we're sitting, you know, doing a bunch of rattling, doing a bunch of calling. I get bored with about an hour left of light, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, anything that can hear me, it's going to hear me by this point.
Okay.
You know, you can hear something from 300, 400, 500 yards away because of how big this draw is in this river bottom. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm just going to get moving. I want to see the rest of this property. Dumb luck, maybe. Who knows?
This is the walk-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what I want to do is just, you could tell there was a barbed wire fence that ran through the middle of it, basically just splitting it in half, not allowing cattle to get down into the river bottom probably. And then the top part was a little bit more CRP, bottom part was a little more river bottom. But the whole thing was walk-in.
Okay.
So I stayed on the river bottom side, and I started walking the fence row, and I was looking at my phone thinking, all right, I could probably work my way about 200-300 yards up further, hit that fence line. If I hit that fence line, I'll just sit right there and, you know, face whatever, but I know I can only shoot in the walk-in.
Yeah.
So I start walking, and thinking to myself, you know what? I'm a deer out here too. I am the biggest, baddest buck you've seen in this woods. So I'm grunting.
You went full on flute, man.
Oh, I am Greg.
Like as you're walking?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I am, try that pace that you know you're like, is that a deer?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm doing that through the leaves. I didn't rattle that
ball.
I hit the grunties. I just kept, you know, just grunting. And then I'd stop for a second and look at my phone like, all right. And then I'd look for sight. I was like, oh, there's a rub over there. That's good to know. There's another tree stand there. Oh, they must know something that I don't know. Then I keep moving. And I did that for about 15, 20 minutes. And so I do it one last time thinking, all right, I got to figure out how close I am to this fence line because I've only got 40 minutes left of light maybe at this time. How far do I need to get? How far can I go? I just got done with my sequence, my steps and my grunts. And I look down at my phone thinking, all right, I got this far. And I hear, bleh, back at me. I'm like, holy shit, there's a buck right
there.
There's a buck
man.
Right there. Yeah, that was a real one.
Came to life.
I figured it was another hunter going,
hey,
what's up?
Dumbass. I could do that too.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Get out of my spot.
Yeah.
So I see this buck looking, and he's looking in my direction. Ears are pinned. He is hauling. Like, he's doing the big old stomp. He is pissed off. I must have just gotten tight with him.
Does he not see you?
He does not.
Okay.
He just knows the general direction where those grunts were coming from.
Okay.
And so kind of to paint the scene here, I'm on that fence row. In that fence row, there is grass growing up. So there's kind of like a little grass wall barrier.
Okay.
And then on his side, there's a couple of little cedars that are probably 3-4 feet tall. And it makes a line going that way too.
Okay.
He's on the uphill slant side. I'm on the downhill. And he comes out of this thicket. Would have been, I'm probably 120 yards away from the private.
Okay.
At the time. And he comes out of that thicket. He had to have been bedding within, who knows. If he started walking immediately, worst, the farthest he is maybe 150 yards from where I shot him.
Yeah.
From where I'm at. My guess after shooting him and he ran through that thicket, he was probably bedded with the wind in his favor, through the thicket on the backside, probably using the fence as his cover. Cause there's, it would create that little, not a Y shape, but like a T shape of the fences. He was probably sitting somewhere up there. If I were to guess, he could see all the walk in. Okay. He knew that probably only cattle was going to be behind him, from where he was sitting. And I think I just got in tight with him and got him pissed off.
Wait, is this the deer you shot?
This is the deer
I shot. Oh, shit, man. Like, you were, like, this first time in.
This is first time. This is the second time with my bow in my hand.
Oh, shit.
This is the first walk-in.
Man, I thought we was, like, working up to a build-up here. Hell, this happened quick.
This is
like McDonald's, man.
We're here.
Order up.
We are here. Yeah, because, so what I saw, you know, he was walking towards me, right? His ears were pinned, and all of a sudden he flips his head up. I'm like, oh, shit, shoot her. I end up pulling my arrow out. I knock it. I get my release ready. Just switch to the thumb button. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm like, all right, I got this. I've been shooting for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. Yeah. We go be all right.
You got her figured out.
We
got
to get her down, you know? So he's making his way, and he's coming right at me. He's not.
Is he on the private?
No.
No,
we're
okay.
We're 120 yards away from private.
Oh, okay, okay.
Both sides of this fence that I'm using as my barrier is still walk-in.
Nice.
So he's making his way towards me. First time I see him, he's probably 50, 60 yards. Because it's one of those times where you don't expect to see a deer.
Right.
I'm just looking down on my phone and he grunts. If he doesn't grunt, I don't know if I see him right away.
Right.
It's just plain as day. I don't know if I see him.
Was there like, were you guys on like flat ground? Like
slight, he was slightly uphill.
So he couldn't see you because what? There was cedars?
That grass and the cedars.
Grass
the only
and
thing
cedars.
He could see is maybe chest and up.
Okay.
But of course, you know, I'm decked out in that camo. If anyone wants to sponsor the camo,
yeah.
too. We'll name drop the camo, too. But
go for it.
No, it ain't never going to happen. But we're decked out in the
Walmart?
Camo.
Die Hard Sicka.
Maybe, yeah. So the old Sicka pattern worked, and we deer never saw me.
You know, if you're wearing the elevated two pattern, that is the skyline pattern. That isn't the ground pattern.
That's the thing.
Maybe
he could see
that. Right.
I mean, everything behind you is the sky.
Whatever.
I mean, it is what it is.
I guess.
You know?
It was up
here. Whatever.
I mean, it worked either way.
Either way, he's sitting over here.
Yeah.
Fancy boy.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, so you're on the sucker.
So I'm
60
on
yards.
He's on top of me. I'm on top of him. You know, he's in tight. I hear him grunt. Pull up from my phone like, you dipshit. Put your phone away. I wish I would have reacted slightly different. I wish I got on film. I have the mount of the painted arrow.
Oh, yeah, for your phone.
Love that.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yep, super sweet. Met them up at TAC.
Yep.
Great guys over there. I hope they're doing well. I have no idea how their company's going, but we ended up purchasing those.
Yeah, they get that's a good
love
product.
Them. It's so sweet. You know, yeah. I was used to mounting my GoPro on there and trying to do that. And
yeah.
My good buck I shot in Beale City, I got on film with my GoPro.
Oh, okay.
At the time, would have been in 2020.
Yeah.
And then with them coming out with this and using my phone, I wish out my reaction.
Far superior with the phone and the painted aerial over the
yes.
Over
just because
the GoPro.
I mean, the quality of your phone now is unreal.
Me to you with a GoPro looks like you're 20 feet away.
So. Yeah. So I didn't record it. I wish I would have. It would have been some sweet footage.
It wouldn't have happened if you would have, though.
Yeah, I can't look back and say I wish it had been different because it worked out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
You know?
You're painting a pretty good picture, though, man, so just keep rolling with it.
So, phone goes somewhere. I don't know if it goes down, it goes in my pocket, goes somewhere. Knock an arrow, get my release on, everything's ready to go, and he's walking right towards me. and he has this option. He can either come straight towards me, then he's got to make a slight veer around these cedars.
Yeah.
Cedars are 5 yards in front of me. He gets to a spot where he's about 15 yards, and he finally stops and picks me out thinking, what the hell is
that?
So
when you initially saw him, did you, like, duck?
Yeah.
Did you, okay. Yep. You, like, went down? Did you go down, like, your knees? Not all knees, the way down. Or you just, you just hunched down?
Yeah. Knowing, like, the fence is about this high.
Okay.
As this table here. So it's about 3.5-4 feet. I knew okay. that I could just crouch down.
Okay.
I got camo on my head. I got whatever.
Okay.
And I got to keep the visual that I can still see him
sure.
without getting flat, yeah. flat.
So you weren't like looking to try and move to this bush or that cedar
go.
Or whatever. You were just,
there's nowhere to
I'm
go.
Here and
yeah.
if it happens, it happens.
I had that visual barrier right there.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay.
I felt comfortable right there. Luckily, sure. That there was some grass growing and the, whoever owned that decided not to mow that or do nothing like that.
Okay.
So it worked out well.
Cool.
So I tucked down right there and got everything ready to go. He gets into that, make that choice to where he's at 15 yards and he peeks me out. And at the time, I can see vitals. I can see everything. I'm like, he's within 25. I can shoot this deer 15 different ways.
Yeah.
And as soon as he decided to pick his head up slightly, does that, you know, that deer reaction of like, he knows there's something not right.
Right.
I'm like, all right, I got to go now. So I draw and I get my anchor and I start to slowly rise up. I get just above this fence line. There is a little cutout in this cedar. It was made for me to shoot.
Sure.
Oh my gosh.
You're not worried about how far he is at this point or ranging him or anything like that. You knew he was in your kill zone.
He was tight.
Okay.
He was real tight.
Okay.
After pacing off, he's 15 yards.
Yeah. Top pin club.
All day.
Okay.
Yeah. I was getting ready to range if I had to, but that it happened so quick that I didn't even hesitate. As soon as I knew he was within for sure 25,
yeah.
I said, don't even touch it.
Right.
Absolutely fine. You know, after shooting enough, you know
sure.
if yeah. they're within top
That's where
club.
Practice, man. Like it's it so makes big. It natural. Like you don't worry about it.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm saying regardless of what release you're using, beforehand I shot hundreds, if not thousands, of arrows through the summer.
Yeah.
Just to generally know your ranges. Even if you're 4 yards off, you
yeah.
know he's within 30 and
right.
I'm fine. So he gets to about that 15-yard range, and he stops, and he picks me off. I'm like, all right, I got to go now. So I draw, pull it up, and I pull up to him. And as soon as I'm looking, I see that cutout in that cedar,
yeah,
which is absolutely money. And I kind of wish I changed my shot placement, but knowing the fact that I have a tracking dog,
yeah,
I practice and I preach the exact same thing is no matter what, if I put it center mass.
Or
back,
yep.
I have a dead deer and I'm going to find it.
Right.
If I have a dead deer, my dog will find it.
Yeah.
And that's cocky. It's confident. I don't care.
No.
We're going to find that deer.
Yeah.
If he's dead. And I knew right away, I'm like, oh, he is facing to where his body is broadside.
Okay.
His chest is facing me.
Okay.
He is torqued super
okay.
hard.
Yeah.
So his body's probably slightly quartering towards me at that point. But my entrance exit of this shot shows straight.
Yeah.
I think blows right through him mm-hmm. the exact angle that I thought he was standing.
So you took him where?
Just behind the shoulder, within about
2-3 inches
away from the shoulder.
Okay.
Is right where I put it. Center mass ends up going perfect, exactly where I aimed. I hear the that watermelon pop.
Yeah.
Once I hit him. Arrow is hanging out the backside as he spins and takes off after I shoot. And I see the arrow flipping like this. Hanging
so,
by the fletchings.
Like, where'd it come out? In front of his hip?
Oh.
Or way further ahead, yeah.
Way further ahead.
So he was probably more broadside than what...
His body was broadside, like super broadside.
Okay.
But the fact that when he turns that chest towards me,
yeah,
right.
that shoulder,
yeah,
for sure blocks his lungs.
Yep.
Okay.
But exposes his heart.
Right.
So I think if I would have decided I wanted to take this deer in a different angle... I should have shot him straight
here. Yeah, you
here.
Could have took him right between the between his
between
shoulder
the
and
shoulders
his chest
and
that cavity.
Exactly. I could have probably double lunged him if not
yeah.
aimed slightly down, hit the heart, and found him within 45
yeah.
yards.
Either way, though.
Yeah.
But either
then,
way.
But then the thing is, I would be breaking what I preach when I'm telling Dylan where to shoot sometimes.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hey, we have a dog at our disposal. Shoot where you know you're going to kill the deer. And I
right.
tell all these hunters that, you know, oh, I got a shoulder shot. Like,
yeah.
hey, we're not going to find it, most likely.
Yeah.
You know, there's never a guarantee. But if you put it back in the double lung, you put it in the liver, you put it in the guts,
yeah,
you're going to have a dead
clean
deer.
Him out from the lungs back, and he will die.
Exactly. So I went with my instincts. I take that, and I'm like, yep, we're going further back. And I put it as tight to that shoulder as I can.
Yeah.
Punch right through him. Arrow's hanging out the backside. As he spins and runs away, I see blood dripping down. Nice. And then I see this arrow doing this flop. Nice. I watch this arrow flip in the air 15, 20 feet, do this dance, right?
Yeah.
Sticks in the ground.
Nice. Lighted awesome. Knock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can see everything just twirl in the air, lands right there. Okay. Super freaking cool. He takes off. But the fact that I knew that those woods were, the little thicket that he came out of was 67 yards away, I'm thinking, shit. Like, yeah. I know I'm fine, but shit, this might be a long night.
Yeah.
Because he didn't stop up and do any wobbles. You know, double lung still can still go 100, 150.
Just freaking death run.
Yeah. You know, who knows what shot I put on him. My goal is that double lung from that angle, but yeah. I could easily be pure liver.
Fixed blade or fixed. Expand? Okay.
Yep. Okay. Fixed. I was ready to blow through that shoulder if I had to.
Nice. Okay.
Got a pretty decently heavy setup this year. 520 grains.
Okay.
For the whole thing. 65-pound Matthews.
Nice.
So I think that if...
More than capable.
Yeah, I think if I have to, if I need to get 10 inches of penetration getting through the shoulder or deflecting, yeah, yep. I should be able to get it. And that was my goal with shooting that setup. And, you know, there's probably a lot more people out there that know a hell of a lot more about arrow setups. But to try to maximize that speed with that...
I don't know shit about arrow setups.
I don't either. I'm just telling you what
that... Yeah, no, I mean, that's great. You know? I'm asking and I'm glad you're telling me because it just gives me something to think about. But I don't know shit about arrow setups.
I don't either. And there's always that debate of
heavy. Like, I shoot it, it works. Hey, okay, that's what I'm shooting. Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. And so. If you keep doing what you're supposed to and you put it far back away from that shoulder, you're still going to kill it. Shooting 45 pounds with an expandable. 100%.
100%.
You know? It's all about shot placement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he does the death run.
He does the run. You heard the pop. Yeah. That I love, you know, you love to hear in that cavity. Breaks the diaphragm, takes off, and I immediately, like, I had no adrenaline going into it. None. Because it was so fast. It happened in about 40 seconds. You know, it takes 20 minutes to explain, but it happened in about 30, 40 seconds. And immediately just adrenaline dump. Absolutely everything.
Did you cry?
I cried and I shit.
You might have, because I remember.
I cried and I took a shit.
We were you didn't shit your pants?
No, but
no, you're like, man.
Immediately. Dude, it was unreal.
That's a serious dump. Adrenaline and physical. Yeah,
literal adrenaline dump.
Yeah, we were in Iowa, and I remember my phone, the ringer was on, and I remember getting Snapchats from you, and it's like, ding, and I look, oh, Taylor Artis, okay, I know he's in Kansas. Must be something good. And I was like, ding, 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 ding.
I'm like, dude, it was only like
holy shit. No, it was like, goddamn,
it was a lot.
You might be.
And I'm like, guys. And all of a sudden, I get look at this video. It's like, all I hear is, and it's just like a shaking camera of looking at nothing.
And then he crouches down, and he's like.
I think it must be good.
The first one's pre-shit. Second one's post-shit, for sure.
It must be good. Yeah, because I don't think you must have not had service because I got
you at the fence.
And then all of a sudden it was you at the motel. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a key factor too. There was no service there. So yeah, so at the shot, I recorded everything, took a couple of Snapchats to, you know, try to capture the moment. I'm horrible after the moment, dude. My commentary is
pure chaos.
Oh my God. I got to get better at that. That's something I need to.
No, man, because then it's not unnatural. Yeah, then it feels like it's it then it feels like it's like, made up. You know
what comes to your mind when you're full adrenaline? Not very much. Not very much. Usually, I just say a lot of f bombs.
Oh yeah, so, I mean, me too. Yeah. I'm the same way.
You got to keep it.
I'm usually like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just.
Stay on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stand pots. Give me a minute. Give me a second.
Yeah. It's something along those lines.
Everybody's got something. You know what I mean? They're post deer
the
shot.
Dennis Kane. Got him.
Yeah.
You'll love to hear that one. That's a good one.
I love it.
My whole family goes through that one.
Yeah. So you had your moment.
Yeah. So I had my moment, adrenaline dump, everything. So afterwards, you know, we had the adrenaline dump, and it's not dark yet. There's about, I'll say, a half hour, 20 minutes.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there processing everything, just trying to stay away from my, just took a dump. I moved my way down a little bit. And I'm just sitting there thinking.
Did you cover it up like a cat?
No, you do the respectful thing. You do like a little bit of a hole and you cover it back on. Actually, that time I didn't. Here's what I do. I didn't have enough time. It just happened. Like, oh, God, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I got a shit.
I got a cramp.
Well, that happens when you travel sometimes. Yeah. You know, it happened to Mace. Shit, she shit in the room. Yeah, I just did in the woods.
You must have
we
stopped.
Slipped.
You must have stopped at Casey's.
I was just going to say, you got a slice of Casey's.
So Casey's slice, breakfast slice, so and a coffee.
Dude, I did the next day. I did the next 4 days.
Full
I
explosion in my pants.
It was so good. So I'm sitting there waiting for dark because, like, I'm not going to go mess up his hunt now. What if someone shows up for time?
Yeah.
You know? So I sit there, and then dark shows up, and I'm like, sure, of course I'm going to get ready to go. And I zip over there as fast as I can and get over there, and I start recording myself again. And I'm like, how'd it go? You see anything? He's like, no, dude. I didn't see nothing. I heard a bunch of stuff. I heard you working your way down there. I was like, yeah, I got kind of bored. I started moving my way down. And he's like, you see anything? I was like, yeah, I saw one. Oh, yeah, I'm missing an arrow. Shut up. I was like, yeah, I'm missing an arrow. Did you get him? Smoked him.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. So
let's go.
I couldn't jump over that barbed wire fence fast enough. And yeah. So we're getting all excited. And so we make our way back. And same rule of thumb. You know, if you don't see him drop, you don't track too far.
Sure.
You know? So we start right away. We find the arrow, grab the arrow, find the blood. The blood's trickling. It's not spraying. I knew immediately. Liver. There's a little bit of darker blood on the arrow. Mm-hmm. I knew all the signs. Like, all right, we got to let the deer lay. 110%. Don't go after this deer. I push a little further than what I'm supposed to, you know?
It sure happens.
You do. I end up going probably about 150. Looking back on it, I should have just grabbed my arrow and said, get the hell out of there. Yeah. You know, that's what I tell other people to do.
It happens.
Jump on the trail a little bit. I know I didn't bump them. But we hop on, get to it. We get to the fence line. And then I start looking over the fence and I see blood over the fence. I'm like, all right, you know, now we got to do what we got to do. In Michigan, right, you call the people. You figure it out. You go get permission. 98% of the people that you talk to are going to give you permission to go over there. Mm-hmm. Always, right? They're going to give you that to you or they're going to say, yeah, I'll go with you.
So he's on the private at this point.
The deer is on the private.
Okay.
Yep. So we look it up on online, and we find out that people live on the opposite side of that parcel.
Okay.
So it's a 500-600-acre parcel.
Sure.
And it's just an old farmhouse. So, of course, I'm thinking, yep, we're going to hop in the truck, go over there, go talk to them, go get permission, and we'll go find them in the morning.
Right.
And we drive over there, and I start talking to this lady, and the husband's there, I guess. Never saw him.
Yeah.
And I start talking to this old lady. She's in a boot. She comes walking up to the door, and she's kind of skeptical of what's going on, you know. And I tell her, hey, you know, my name's Taylor. I shot a deer on the walk-in, trying to give you the common courtesy. I'd love to go grab my deer, you know, going through the whole spiel of everything.
Sure.
And I told her, I got my tracking dog. We do it professionally. We are listed on the Kansas Deer Recovery page. You know, we've got all of these steps covered. Is it all right for me to go track this deer with my dog and my friend and, you know, successfully recover him? And I was like, I know the deer's dead. I got a plenty of signs to say so.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen this before. I know my shot placement. I have a dead deer, but he's not dead yet. He's going to be dead by tomorrow morning.
You made it sound good. As best as I could.
As best as I could, you know. It's hard to tell someone who may or may not be a hunter.
Sure.
The details of what's going on.
Yeah.
And for someone that's been on, you know, as many tracks as we have, it's, you gotta just lay it on as thick as you're supposed to, and don't lay it too thick, because then you start getting into details that either, one, they don't care about, or two,
right,
they get, like, scared, and it's just too much. So, the nice guy I am, right, I was like, she gave me permission. I was like, awesome, thank you so much, I appreciate that. Nice guy I am, like, well, here's my phone number.
Well, these people probably don't see too many people coming up to their door either.
I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
And so I give her my phone number. I get hers. And I was like, yeah, I just want to, you know, I plan on, I was like, do you have any hunters in the area? You know, is anyone hunting that tomorrow? If so, can I contact them and figure it out and, you know, do whatever? And she's like, nope, no one's hunting it tomorrow. You'll be fine to go over there and go do it. I said, all right, sounds good. gave her my phone number. I left. I hopped in the truck with Ty. I'm like, let's go, dude. And like, we're guaranteed we're going to go find this deer. Who knows how far he's going to be. But I got Mace at the motel ready to go. Like, you know, everything lines up perfect.
Yeah.
3 minutes later, I get a phone call. It's from the landowner. I'm thinking, oh, God, what now? No, I just got permission.
Yeah.
Answer it. She's like, hey, you know, I just talked to my husband, and he said he'd rather you not go over there.
Oh, no.
And I'm devastated. Yeah, thinking,
what do you do now?
Yeah, I'm thinking, is there a reason why? Like, I laid it on thick. Is there anyone to go with me? Can I pay?
Yeah.
Like a trespassing fee to go? Is there a certain time block that you would allow me to go? Can I go after dark tomorrow? Like, it doesn't matter when I can go or who or what it costs. I want to go grab my deer.
Right.
Like, it didn't matter at this point. We're hundreds of dollars invested into the tag.
Yeah.
We're hundreds of dollars invested into the motel room, into the travel. Like, it's not cheap to go out of state.
Ultimate high, ultimate low.
Ultimate high to an absolute ultimate
low. Oh, my God.
Dude, I was mad. I was pissed. I was distraught. I was, you name it, I was it.
What was the reason?
I'd rather you not.
That was it.
But you can't ask questions.
No.
Because it's none of your business to ask questions. That's the problem, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And she's like,
you can be like, why not?
She said, I'd rather you not.
Yeah.
And there was 15, 20 seconds of just dead silence.
Yeah, like what?
I kept
what?
Asking
what?
Yeah, I'm just like,
yeah.
Is there anything I can do? And I explained, this is more than likely the biggest deer I've ever shot in my life.
Yeah.
This deer will feed my family for this year. Like, I just kept going on with different details. And I said, is there any way I can pay you? Is there any way I can have someone from the family go with me? Any detail I could throw out there.
Yeah, I don't want to disrespect this deer by just letting it lay there and rot.
Yeah. End of the conversation. Oh,
God.
Still a no.
Oh, my God.
I.
How old were these folks?
70s, probably. I already guess.
Man.
So at this point, I'm like, my investigative self, like, I'm going to do everything I can to get this deer.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
So immediately I start looking up everything. I find these details. I send a follow-up snap to some guys. I'm like, hey, by the way, I don't have permission to go grab. And I look up in Kansas. So a couple of different details. One is when it comes to tracking a wounded deer, you do not need permission to cross property lines.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But as soon as you are told no, as soon as you are caught, you have to immediately leave the property. That's the way that they run their system when it comes to wounded or dead deer. So if you see your deer get shot and you track it 200 yards on their property, under someone else's private property, that deer's dead, you grab it, you pull it over yours, there is nothing illegal about that.
Wow.
Not one bit.
It just feels, I don't know.
It feels wrong.
Right. I don't want to do that.
We didn't continue to track for two reasons. One, because it was a liver shot and I knew that deer wasn't dead yet.
Right.
Two is because we don't do that here.
Yeah.
You call the property owner, you make friends with them.
You do everything that you can just to not have that confrontation.
Exactly.
If you just don't do it. It's just common courtesy.
So the thing I would do here, right, is called the DNR.
Yeah.
Try to get it figured out if any situation. So what do I do there? I look up the laws. I call the DNR. I leave a voicemail for them. Didn't answer. I was like, all right, I don't know what to do. I really don't. I called. I made friends with a guy down there who's a pretty well-known deer tracker.
Okay.
That allowed me to get onto the deer tracking network in Kansas. Talked with him quite a bit over the summer. Great connection, great guy. Him and his dog, Oki, I believe.
Yeah.
Great team. They have some awesome recoveries. End up talking with him, and he kind of explains the laws to me a little bit more. And he's like, this is what I would do. So we start talking about that, do that. By the end of the night, no answers. I don't get a call back. I don't have a plan. I have no idea what to do at this point.
You got a dead deer.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get it.
Right.
Damn.
So what I decide when I'm going to bed, well, from the sleep that I got that night, it was, I told Ty, I was like, dude, drop me off at the property in the morning at first light.
Yeah.
My goal is to get eyes on this deer. Who knows, you know, liver shots typically go about 400 or 500 yards. Okay. We've covered 120, 150 yards. If I can get to a high point, these rolling hills, I might be able to see him.
Right.
Or if I got lucky, if I clipped a little bit of lung, he might be bedded up a little sooner.
Yep.
That was my goal. So I got to the walk-in. I walked the fence rail between the private and the walk-in. I walked down there and I get right to my blood spot. And I'm just pissed thinking, I got blood right here on the walk-in. I got blood right here on the private.
Yeah.
How is this illegal? You know, just because I did the right thing and I went to the property owner
and asked for permission. Yeah, now you're getting.
Now I'm illegal. But if I went last night and they never see me because she's in a boot and he's bedridden.
Yeah.
They never see me.
No, I know.
They never see me. They never catch me. They never care.
That's whacked.
Mm-hmm. But the fact that they said no. Well, she said yes, and then he said, I'd rather you not.
Yeah.
That doesn't hold up in court, but it does in your moral court.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Yep.
That's the hard part. So I'm thinking to myself, I want to get eyes on him. I want to try to figure out these details. Any information I can get, I'm going to get while I'm here on this property. So I get to the shot site. I find the blood a little bit better in the day. I get to the property line. I'm sitting there, and I'm glassing. I'm looking, I'm doing everything I can just to get any kind of closure, any kind of information,
yeah.
Name, but I'm trying to find it. I'm there for about an hour, hour and a half. And then my phone rings. It's the property owner.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, I have nothing in my head right now.
There's a glimmer of hope.
It could be. And to myself, I'm thinking, whatever. Like,
hey, I can see you. Don't cross my property line.
Like, yeah. Say, I'm on the right side. Yeah. Don't yell at me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine. And I'm pretty sure she was driving around that morning, actually, after we figured out. I'm 90% sure that her vehicle was the one driving around, making sure that no one was on her property.
Yeah.
But she calls me and says, hey, I talked to my husband again this morning. And we'd like to give you permission to go over there.
Boom! Yes!
Thank you, Lord.
I set up 1,500 prayers. I did everything I could.
That's a hot apple pie coming to their way.
Oh, my gosh. I did everything I could. And as soon as she told me, I immediately broke down. I was bawling hysterically. I'm like, thank you so much.
I would be too, because I ain't never had that happen before.
I was so
especially
worked
on
up.
A good buck.
Oh my god.
Damn.
Gosh. I was so worked up. I was so mad. I was so all these things. And I lost it. And then as soon as we hung up the phone, I immediately called Ty. I said, all right, here's the scenario. She told me that I can go. She told me I can bring my dog. You can't come. She was very specific.
Okay.
I said, fine, whatever. Don't care. I need myself and my dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Having my friend who is stronger than an ox would be great, but yeah. Not necessary at this moment to find this deer, you know?
Yeah.
So hang up with her. I hang up with the landowner. I hang up with Ty. I call my wife and she's like, what the hell are you talking about? She gave me permission. I'm gonna go find him. I gotta go get Mace.
Yeah.
She's like,
I don't give a shit.
Just call me later.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
You guys and your stupid deer hunting.
Yeah, exactly. So immediately after I talked to Ty, I'm like, okay, I need to turn my phone off. So what's going to happen is I said, you need to come pick me up right now. He was going to go check some other walk-in properties.
Yeah.
He comes and picks me up. We drive over to the motel. We grab Mace. We immediately drive back. On our way to the motel, I say, hey, I'm turning my phone off. If I find him, I will turn my phone on and I will call you. I'm not going to let her call me and tell me no. I'm not going to let nothing stop me from finding this deer. I'm not going to track where I'm going. We're just going to go find him.
Right.
And as soon as we find him, I will walk up to the top of the hill and get service and call you. So we do that. We sprint into the truck. We haul balls back to the motel.
Yeah.
We haul balls back. Jump on the private. Sprint to the shot site with Mace and I. And we just go. There is blood for 60 yards from the fence down this trail, and all of a sudden, no blood.
Do you have your bow with you?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Liver, I knew liver for sure.
Okay. You weren't thinking.
And I wasn't going to chance it with these people.
Okay.
The way that it was,
sure.
The situation
sure.
went down.
Sure, I would have been a little bit anxious myself personally.
Yeah, and I don't blame you for that.
But I mean, that's just me though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get into a situation, but either way, that's just me.
I've
you were seen, way more confident in I was your confident. Shot. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I knew for a fact either I clipped lung or I'm in and out liver.
Okay.
All day long. Okay. I knew for a fact this deer was dead.
I'm creating chaos where there was none then.
No. No. I always, like when we do tracks, I always encourage people to bring their bow. Always. Because if you're calling a dog in, that means something didn't go right.
Sure.
And I encourage a lot of people to bring their bow.
Okay.
In this case, the way I saw everything go down, I'm not
necessary.
No.
Okay.
So we hop on it. We take off. My phone's off. 60 yards of blood. I find 2 drops of blood total after that. We go through this meadow. We go straight down a hill into this gully, into that river bottom.
Okay.
I kept thinking, all right, it's going to be down here maybe. That's probably 300 yards from the shat. We're in the chips. We go down through this gully. We go up this little hill onto a flat, across the flat, up another hill.
So are you, is Mace on them?
Mace is doing everything.
Okay.
Mace is 100%.
You're just following.
Yep. So in Kansas, she has to have a lead.
Yep.
On a physical lead.
Okay.
Compared to Michigan.
Yep.
So we have that 50-foot rope going.
Okay.
And we are hauling. She is going as fast as she's ever gone on a track.
Okay.
And I'm kind of second guessing her, but I'm not, because she's not hesitating at all.
Okay.
But what I'm questioning is the choices this deer is making. If she's following the correct scent of what's going on.
Okay.
Because it didn't make sense. You know, he went down to ravine. And he's going up on an angle.
Yeah.
He's making this giant weird S.
Yeah, not something shape. That a mortally wounded deer normally is going to do.
No.
Yeah.
So we're doing this. We keep going. I find 2 drops as we're going. So it reassures me twice that we're on the right trail and she's just going. And she doesn't have her head down, scent. Doing stuff. She's got her head up and her tail's wiggling and she's zigzagging these trails, cutting it, going straight, zigzagging, cutting it.
Are you thick?
No.
Not thick.
Mm-mm. Like, it was
pretty wide
knee
open.
Knee-high CRP grass.
Okay.
And stuff that doesn't hold scent very well.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, just super dry.
Dry out. Yeah. Didn't make sense for her to be hammering this track. But the fact that I knew what kind of shot placement I had,
yeah,
that deer's going to give out that right scent.
Right.
So we're going. And we get to this top of this hill where we're at, and we are 900 yards in.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, shit. God, this is far. This is so far. And I'm not going to turn her back because this is her first reaction, and she's going.
Yeah.
We get to the top of this hill, and we start curving out around the side, and I find another drop of blood. I'm thinking, oh, thank God, she's still on it. So I don't question it. After that, I don't question a single damn thing what she's doing. So she's going fast. She's moving. We end up getting caught up in this thick area where there's a bunch of pines. And in that spot, I break the law, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm unclipping her. I'm getting her intertwined in this stuff.
Yeah, she's getting hung up.
It's how we track in Michigan, you know. I'm not doing a service for someone else. It's my own damn deer kind of thing, you know.
Right.
So I unclip her thinking, God, this sucks to get through. And I wrap it up and I put it in my bag. And we're going 200 yards later down the side cut of this hill, that buck's laying right there.
Holy crap, dude. Over 1,000 yards.
12 minutes. 1,200 yards.
Damn, that's like sprint.
I was gasping for air.
I was just going to say, I'd be freaking, I'd be like, hold on.
It's as fast as a jog you can make without stopping.
I would 100% given you the Stan Potts, give me a minute.
Yeah. I mean, it was unreal. We get up to this deer and same thing, just waterworks, just pure. Oh my God.
This thing just ran itself right to death.
Coyotes.
Oh. Drug it?
No.
No, but they ate the shit out of it.
I guarantee that deer probably would have died.
Oh, you think the deer went halfway up? You think the deer
that hill?
Like hold on a minute. Let me.
The deer bedded in the middle of the night, guaranteed. He probably ran to a certain spot, bedded. He probably got up one time to mosey around, bedded
again. And the coyotes got on and then pushed him that much further. Oh, that makes sense. 110%.
It had to have. I mean, there's situations where deer go further than what they're supposed to on certain shots. Most deer I find are around that 500-yard mark with a pure liver, in and out liver, or about 500 yards. And this deer goes 1,200 yards, and I don't find that deer without Mace.
Yeah.
I, you know, there's so many situations in that to where.
Damn.
Thank God for I never the even thought about the coyotes. Hotel room,
yeah, you know?
Yeah. Thank God for Dylan.
Thank God for Dill. For every
goddamn dog
and that damn dog for going with me because
would have found him. No way in holy hell.
Okay, so I never would have searched up there by myself. No.
Well, because you were never really on. I would have good
had a,
blood.
I would have to call a different dog, and would I have confidence in a different dog for that track?
Who knows?
It's hard to know.
I don't know.
Yep.
So I don't know. Did the coyotes get him?
Yeah, they ate his whole hindquarters.
Oh, bastards.
Yep. Got into the cavity a little bit, but not much.
Freaking coyotes. I never even thought about it, but it's so bad out there.
Oh, it was unreal.
Yeah.
There were some big dogs, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're huge. And they were every night. As soon as you'd be done hunting, they would sound off right away. Yep. And they're everywhere. And then I walk up on this guy.
Yeah. Let's see it.
Yeah.
Woo! Smoky. I love it. I mean, obviously, we already saw it, but this is what I love about this deer. His beam length is stupid. 24-inch main beams, right?
Yep.
Nice. Probably 3.5 is what we figured.
That's my best guess.
Yeah.
For, you know, if I'm comparing.
Cool character. Nice tine length. This is your first six. Success, out-of-state success hunt, right?
This would be my first Kansas success. I've shot.
You've gone to Kansas. This would be number two, right?
Second time in Kansas.
Okay.
This would be the third deer that I've shot out-of-state, but it is my first wall mounter.
Okay.
Buck. Yep.
Damn. Heck yeah. I love it. Yeah, this was. I know you sent me the picture, and I was checking it out, and like I said. The pictures don't do this deer justice because his beam length is so long. And, you know, he's got great tine length. He's super unique to me because he almost looks super compact. But then these just continue on and on and on.
He's honestly got a hell of a spread.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably, what, 16, 17?
I think it ended up being 17 and some change.
Yeah, yeah. But, like... To me, you'd think that it would like end here, just where
you can
it curls
see, yeah,
up.
Yeah, you can see right where they start curling. You'd think that it would end.
Yeah. Any chance you would have passed this deer?
Never.
No.
No.
Even though on the first sit.
No.
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 Yeah, so what day was that?
Day two.
Day two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it happens that way, man.
Roller coaster day three.
We were mooching, man, just walking around.
Deer bag.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Found him on late morning, day three.
That's awesome. Do you think, totally off subject, do you think that a drone would have found this deer? I mean, you could have put a drone in the air and found this deer in a matter of probably...
couple minutes.
Minutes?
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. This is... canopy was wide open.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing. Like, you could put it up and go, there he is.
Not many deer there. There's probably not many things holding that thermal.
Right.
Yeah. You find this deer, no problem.
Yeah.
The thermal.
But it's so much sweeter to find it with your own dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. The pure happiness and the...
Well, just the fact
that... memory that this deer is going to have.
Dude, just
my
the,
own dog.
Just the fact
it.
That...
How
yeah,
she
you,
killed it. Like, you, she just was on it so quick.
You were able to share this, I mean, with your dog, who, I mean, is like a child to you.
Yeah.
That, roller coaster of emotions.
Well, and also, too, I've never had to use her myself.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. There was one deer that I lost that... I ended up figuring out the other day that the neighbors found, which is a pretty cool story. But I've never personally had to use her and successfully use my own dog for my own track.
Makes it even better.
Oh, my God, dude. And especially when this deer does not get recovered. Who knows if the neighbors find them? Kind of a spot.
Like, yeah.
Just pure awesome.
What was the temp? When you found him,
it was
still
hot.
Warm.
It was hot.
Was he spoiled?
Pretty dang close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't take long.
We got the cape, and so we drug him out. That's the worst part, is being on the private and the landowners were like, hey, we'd like to see what deer it is. Apparently their son-in-law and their grandson hunt.
Okay.
And they hunt their property.
So do you think that's why they weren't wanting you to go on there?
I think that's part
of it. I mean, that to me, that would be the typical, yeah.
And that's one of those, how about you let me talk to them kind of situation?
Yeah,
even though they don't have the access, say, hey, you know.
Like, I don't want to screw up your hunt.
Exactly. Let me put you in touch with them, see what they think, and you guys can maybe go in together after dark or something.
Yeah.
100%. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. No, I get that part of it.
Yeah. And no, it was just...
What a great story, dude.
Absolutely.
I mean, even though it was a very, very quick hunt, it was a extremely successful hunt. This is an awesome deer, man. I'm super happy.
Did Ty for you?
He did not. he had an opportunity at a sweet buck on at the private piece that we sat. The first night where I sat, that little funnel ended up proving to be a pretty sweet spot. And that's a spot I'll probably end up sitting for years to come, is honestly. Yeah. It sounds like we have permission to go back there, according to the landowners. And, you know, got them some gift cards and did what we're supposed to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We'll send them a Christmas card kind of thing.
Sure. And, yeah, but you got this in your back pocket now.
I know, right?
Was this the deer that the owner's son and grandson were hunting or no?
I don't think so. They mentioned a drop tine buck out there somewhere. And now, like I say, so that's why we ended up dragging this deer out, is because the landowners were like, yeah, we want to see it afterwards. And I wish they would have said, hey, just want to see a picture of it or whatever. And we were like, yeah, of course we're going to be able to drag it out. You know, it's a buck we shot. We'll drag him out.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding when I say this deer is 250 pounds without his hindquarters and without guts.
Just a pig.
Not kidding.
They're a whole different.
That deer is ginormous.
They're like they're a Canadian deer.
It took us an hour and a half to drag him out.
You didn't have a cart?
No.
Come on, bro.
No.
You don't go out of state without a cart.
So I'm not big. I can drag a deer. I helped drag a guy's deer out for 200 yards in a swamp by myself the day before I left.
Got to have a cart.
And I pulled a back muscle doing it.
Yeah.
I complained to my wife about it I'm still complaining about it, dude. It's
got to think smarter, man.
I know. And I'm like heaving this thing by myself thinking, oh, Ty's a big guy. You know, he holds his own. He's strong. That man is strong.
Ty's an ox.
That's cool and all, but he
ain't. But us two together, we're dragging this deer out. Like a Michigan deer, oh my God, he can throw it on his back. We're walking out.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. So I thought.
Kansas deer dead weight is like, you're hauling a semi.
being honest, any other scenario, we cape them, cut back straps, we leave them, and we only drag them to the walk-in.
Yeah.
We leave him on the walk-in because the rest of his meat was spoiled. You know, and everything innard was kind of pretty boiled.
Yeah.
And there's no hindquarters. So the only thing you're getting maybe is neck. And
such a bummer.
Yeah. And it sucked about that part because, this deer would feed, you know, my wife and I and my daughter for the year and friends and family. But, you know, you still get the story. We still get everything else about it. And we got an overabundance of beautiful does around here that are going to get a couple extra shots in. But it sucks to not bring him home completely.
Yeah. So here's, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong, here's what's unfortunate about this. Did you learn anything on this property? On this walk-in?
It happened so quick.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know you really don't know what this property is capable of, nor how the deer move across it or whatever.
So my tip about that would be, I learned that it's all about... Just like we said before, it's all about your neighbors.
Yeah.
It's all about that surrounding property.
Yeah.
That surrounding property holds big deer. Like, from what we saw, the different draws, the different stuff where deer can hide.
Yeah.
There was a lot of deer sign over there as I was going through. As soon as we were done and I'm sitting there and I just, you know, have that pure adrenaline dump again of everything. And then, like, all right, get down to business. We got a half-assed gut, what's left.
Yeah.
Kind of cut them up a little bit, leave some guts there. Doing everything like that, then I start looking around thinking, all right, well, what's this property got? Why is this deer here?
Yeah.
And oh God, there's so much sign over there too.
Yeah.
It was unreal. And the fact that there's multiple bucks that this deer is probably the very bottom of their totem pole of what they got going on there. You know, I end up seeing the giant 8-point that I ended up driving around afterwards.
Sure.
So I shot him, recovered him. The next 5 days, I'm driving around trying to find, you know, more deer. I'm trying to find walking access. And I drive around and I find the biggest 8-point I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah,
magnum. It's one of those that you just got to see it because it's unreal how big this deer is. And to think that that's probably the caliber that most of these people are going after down there.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, I'd shoot this deer. No doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
But I can tell you the locals may look at this and go, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a stud. Damn, is he tall.
When he turns his head, like his head.
He's going to turn his head and start jogging away. And to think that
look at his freaking neck. Well, he doesn't even have a neck. He's just oh, my God. He's just got, like, shoulders. He got his lady so right there tall. With him. Oh.
Wow.
Dude, ridiculous. Is he a tank.
Yeah, that's a ginormous deer.
Oh, yeah.
And takes nothing away from this opportunity.
No, 110%. No.
But that's the difference between us Michiganders and a high caliber deer for us.
Yeah.
Is this 140s. You know? That's huge.
I can't pass that.
I equate this all to,
I don't know if I
ever
will pass a 140.
Yeah. I equate this to I'm only here for X amount of days.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100% success if I can get on a quality deer like this in those days. Because, like, it's tough.
Yeah.
They don't just, well, they don't, I don't want to say they don't walk up to you. This one did, but
sometimes they do.
But no, like this is 100% a stud deer. And I mean, I'd shoot it. I would. On the second day, yeah, I'd shoot it. Unless I saw a bigger one.
See, that's the hard part. You never know.
Yeah. But you don't know.
You don't.
No. Yeah. I had when I was in Kansas one time, I got freaking cursed out by my buddy because I passed up like 120 inch. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. And that was early in the hunt.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. But you just, you set your standard at that point. So now you go out there and.
Yeah, Mexican one might you have got to a standard be a little bit now. Bigger.
Yeah.
But
it'd be
that's,
tough.
That's what we talked about, though. He fits exactly what our standard was. As Ty and I were talking about it. It's like, all right, if 130 inch 8 shows up, you're going to shoot it? I was like, probably.
Yeah, that's big 8.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then he ends up going 142 and some change as a slight 9.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the ballpark of what we were going for.
Dude.
Thanks. But yeah, that's the ballpark we were aiming for. And that's our bottom threshold of knowing the caliber of deer that are out there.
Set the goal and don't question it.
Yep. If it makes you almost shit your pants and literally shit your pants afterwards.
Yeah, it's the
right
shoot. Should probably kill that.
You probably should.
Yeah, the shitter buck.
The shitter. It's the bump and dump.
Yeah, exactly.
You went full on
literal bump
on
and dump,
ass and then shit your pants afterwards. Yeah. That's a hell of a hunt.
We made it out.
The adrenaline dump buck.
Yeah. I love it.
Great deer, dude. Thanks. Great deer. Proud of you, man. Way to stick with it. Yeah, I know you guys had a rough go of it on that first Kansas trip you guys went to.
Yeah, we did.
It's just a new experience, I think, too. Like,
yeah, and I think I might have talked to you about it. Like, it's so tough to go out first time and not have any experience, and then, like, it's all really it's about luck.
We gave it a shot. We had a great
time. No, and that's the thing. Those first trips, it's like, man, I'm just here to just have a good time, and maybe we run into one and. Hopefully we learn something from
it's
it.
It's just a whole different ballpark down there. Yeah. Completely different.
We were on them.
Yeah.
We were on a couple of good
Were you guys in the same area?
No.
No. Completely
we
different.
We were 2 hours south.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We had an opportunity at one. That was a fun story.
I had a better opportunity.
He could have shot one at 27 yards. He kept telling me 27, 27. I said, dude, I don't see a deer. It's probably
right in front of
us. It's probably the same caliber.
Yeah.
From what we saw. He might be the same caliber.
I was on one side of the tree. He was on the other. I was like, dude, how do you not see this thing? And I just kept saying, 27.
He's got the rangefinder's hand, and I've got my bow ready to go. From the ground.
Hey, 25.
Really?
Okay, 27. It's like, I don't see it.
I would have to take one of those giant steps off to the side, draw and shoot. He only came in because a doe brought him in.
Yeah.
She had us pinned, but then he had no idea we were there. Yeah, we ended up empty-handed that trip, but like you said, learned a lot, had a lot of good memories.
Yeah, no. Those are the best trips.
I looked at him. I was like, what are you doing, man? It's like, I never saw it. It's like, oh my gosh.
I've had that. Yeah. Thad was yelling at me this year because I was trying to, we had that big buck. that buck that was roaring on us, and you're like, he's right freaking in front of you. And I'm like,
well, I was just a little bit lower so I could see everything, and you can hear over the video. I'm like, is he in the camera? Is he in the camera? Is he in the camera? Is he in the goddamn camera, Dad?
I'm like, I don't see him. Like, I don't see him. I don't see him. And finally, I'm like, I'm freaking old. I don't see him. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Where she goes.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, dude, such a great story. I'm so glad that you were able to come over and share this with us and go through it. So, nice job.
Thanks. And what I wanted to add to in the end was the fact that, you know, allowing me to be here and tell these stories. One thing I wanted to start doing is typing up these letters for my kids.
Yeah.
Of like all these stories and these details.
Right.
And I did the first couple, like my first Tom. Trying to remember, like, you know, my first buck and stuff like that. And I've really fallen off from that lately, and I want to get back to it. But the fact that these will be around.
You got this now, man. Like, this is here as long as, I guess, as long as, like, this sort of thing is around. I mean, you always have a video and an audio history of this whole entire story that you can go back. And, I mean, I was just watching a video from, like, I don't even know, 5 years ago. That from a hunt, and I'm like, God, they bring back such a flood of emotions and memories and stuff like that. And I mean, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I started doing this, was just so I can keep those logs, whether it be an audio log or a video log or whatever. So even if it's for my own personal use. So there's probably only a handful of people that listen to these podcasts, but I'm doing it for myself.
Missing out.
So, yeah, so, well, good deal. I think that that's going to end a great story. Thank you guys, and Dylan and Taylor, for coming out. Thad, thanks for hanging out with us.
Fun story.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun story.
Let's keep it rolling. Like, Thad and I are leaving for Kansas, Iowa, to go back out, another week?
Yeah, I got one more trip, one more film trip, and film a big old black bear hunt in North Carolina.
Yeah, you're leaving Thursday for North Carolina?
Heading there, and then we'll get back and try to fill that tag.
Yeah, that week leading into...
we are.
You're going to fill that tag.
We must.
That week leading into Christmas, we're going to go out to Iowa and see if we can't.
Give me some put something down. Sits.
It'll be different because I've never hunted that late.
No,
out of state. Well, I shouldn't say we.
I'm excited to see how it goes.
Like, because I know in those states, like they say, you know, food is king in late season. So I fully expect these deer to be all over food. So
I'm pretty excited. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We gotta fill a tag. I waited too damn long for that tag. I can't freaking go out like this.
Ooh, there's gonna be a little spiker shot.
Meat that. In the freezer.
Sharpie, yeah, we don't need no more meat.
Sharpie might never let us come.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right, everybody, that's gonna be it. I appreciate y'all listening in, and we will see you on the next podcast. So thank you guys again for coming on. This is the Mic'd Up Outdoor Podcast. We'll see y'all soon.